You are Locked On Seminoles, your daily Florida State Seminoles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Seminoles podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I hope you guys have enjoyed the month of January. I'm sorry that this podcast hasn't been on the air. We've been dealing with house stuff due to water damage. So it's been a construction zone in my house and haven't really had time or the opportunity to get this done. But today is a very important day. DeAndre Francois was dismissed from the university, or dismissed from the football program. Signing day starts Wednesday. Florida State basketball is in full swing of things. Florida State baseball. So I'm taking a little bit of time that I have tonight to jump into some things. First, we're up. We're going to talk about Francois and just what that impact means. Next, I'm going to talk on signing day and what to expect. And then lastly, we'll talk a little bit of basketball and baseball and just my thoughts on where things stand with both of those teams. But for those of you who haven't listened to this podcast before, and that's partly on me because I haven't been on as much, but I'm Wayne McGee III, like I said, Florida State beat writer for the Tallahassee Democrat, and I cover football, baseball, basketball, and recruiting. Every football game, away, home, bowl game, doesn't matter, football practice, anytime a player speaks, anytime a coach speaks, I'm there. Basketball, I cover every home basketball game as well as any postseason basketball games. And then baseball, I cover every home baseball game and every postseason baseball game. And then I also cover every major and minor recruiting event. I spent 30 hours, something like that, working on recruiting this weekend at the Moore Athletic Center with Florida State, hosting Junior Day and official visitors. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how the official visits went. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk some recruiting. There's a lot to talk about. But first things first, DeAndre Francois, dismissed from the football program after an Instagram post, Instagram video where his longtime girlfriend alleged that he was domestically abusing her. She has since deleted that and then said that he never struck her. But it's, the damage is done. She's already accused him of domestic violence once before. She accused him again, and there's enough on the audio. You can't be sure that it's him because it's not, the video didn't face DeAndre, like it didn't face the woman, you couldn't see. But in the video, a person that sounds almost pretty much exactly like DeAndre Francois and I guess the woman who posted the video were arguing back and forth. So it was enough for Florida State to finally pull the trigger and remove DeAndre Francois from the team. I'm not going to comment on that situation. I'm not a domestic violence expert. I don't know enough about it to comment on it. I'm not a police officer, so I'm just going to go into what exactly it means for Florida State and why this is a very good thing for the football program. So, DeAndre Francois, go back 3 years ago. He started as a redshirt freshman in the 2016 season. He started all 13 games. And he played fairly well. He played fairly well. One of the biggest issues that he had was that he couldn't throw anything resembling a touch pass and would constantly take sacks that he shouldn't have taken, which, made his offensive line unhappy. But, other than that, he played all right. It wasn't bad. Then he started against Alabama to start the 2017 season, obviously got hurt. And that's when things really started to unravel for DeAndre. He wasn't around the program, he did a lot of stuff behind the scenes that didn't endear him to the coaching staff. From what I've heard, he tried you know, when Blackman was playing well towards the end of the season, he was, I don't want to say talking bad about him, but he was trying to create I don't want to say he was trying to create a rift. That's what he did. He created a rift in the football team with those who supported DeAndre and then those who supported Blackman. Like, there was no, you know, there was really no in between. He basically drew a line in the sand. And, you know, he didn't show up for senior day that year. He was in Orlando. And when Coach Taggart came in December, he basically told him, look, man, you got to get your stuff together. You know, there's no way around it. You've got to get your stuff together. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be here. So for a while, it seemed like Francois had done all right. He was, you know, he did have the domestic, you know, later that in the spring, he had the domestic assault case where his girlfriend accused him of domestic violence. There was a he said, she said. Zaquandre White corroborated Francois' story on that instance, and nothing really ever came of it. He was arrested for possession of marijuana. That is what it is. But it seems like during the summer, he'd taken a little bit of a step forward. Then the fall comes. He beats out Blackman and Bailey Hockman for the starting job. Francois was the best quarterback during fall camp. There's no one anywhere that's going to deny that. James Blackman had an awful first couple weeks of fall practice, and it basically, you know, that ended his chances of winning the starting job. I mean, he was awful. But Blackman, you know, did eventually get better, but Francois became the starting quarterback. The main issue, you know, on the field with him is that he just didn't run the offense the way it should have been run. Like, that's, you know, there's no denying that. Even Francois' staunchest supporters have to admit that he wasn't running the offense the way he was supposed to be running. There was no read option in the read option. Like, there was no read. You know, it was always a give, and it made the offensive line look worse than it was. The offensive line was horrible. Don't get me wrong. He had to play behind a horrible offensive line that was riddled with injuries and just lack of talent and all that. But Francois made the offensive line look a lot worse than it actually was, which is saying something, because he refused to read in the read option. You know, he would hand off every time. And, you know, defenses were just keying in on the running back. They wouldn't even, you know, attempt to take Francois. That's why, you know, the few times that he did keep, he waltzed right in the end zone because there was nobody, like, nobody expected him to keep. You know, so it got to the point to where he just wasn't doing what he needed to be doing to run the offense properly. And, you know, Florida State started losing games. His attitude deteriorated. He was a culture issue at Florida State. So, you know, Coach Taggart came in, said he was going to change the culture of the program. Francois did not help with that. Francois hindered that just completely. You know, his attitude, the way he presented himself, the way he, you know, he wasn't a leader. Just the way he handled himself as the starting quarterback at Florida State wasn't good enough, and it was more of a detriment to the team than a help. And that's, you know, removing him from the locker room and that toxicity from the locker room is going to really help Florida State as far as the culture goes and trying to rebuild that, and, you know, trying to, you know, just trying to change the way the program operates inside. It's really going to help Florida State, I think. And, you know, it sucks that there's that situation that's going on with DeAndre. Whether or not, you know, whatever happened in that situation, it's obviously an unhealthy situation, and I hope that he finds his way out of it and, you know, gets whatever help he needs. But the, like, point blank, Florida State is better off without DeAndre Francois. Like, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that Florida State is much better off without DeAndre Francois than they are with him. I wouldn't have expected Francois to win the job regardless. I think Blackman was going to win the job in the spring. And, you know, he's much better for the locker room. He's a guy that players want to play for. He's a guy that players believe in. And, you know, getting him out, I believe that he'll be a much better
much better fit for the Florida State offense with what they're looking for. Because right now he's the only scholarship quarterback on the roster, so he had better be. That is not including Jordan Travis, who likely won't be eligible for the 2019 season. Florida State's in a much better position with DeAndre Francois off the team than they were with the team, despite only having that one quarterback. You know, I didn't expect Francois to be on the roster past this spring regardless. I would have expected him to transfer. The only reason he was on the roster for the spring is because he didn't graduate in December like he was expected to. So, it is what it is. But that's going to do it for this first segment of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. I'll be back in just a few seconds talking about Florida State's recruiting class and Junior Day and just some overall thoughts on where things stand with Florida State's recruiting. But before we get into that, enjoy these ads. Thanks for sticking with me as we head into this second segment. We're going to talk a little bit of recruiting. You know, National Signing Day starting up on Wednesday. And, Florida State's going to close, at least I believe Florida State's going to close relatively strong. I've been going back and forth on this because the guys that they're recruiting, everyone that's not committed is a guy that was originally a backup plan. And that happens in recruiting. Florida State's still going after some really talented guys and positions of needs. So it's, is Florida State closing well? Because, you know, like that's the question that I'm having trouble with, you know, because they didn't close well at the end of the early signing period. They just didn't. They missed out on multiple top targets. You know, the two best offensive linemen they were recruiting went elsewhere. And the, so they're on to backups, but the backups are still talented and they're closing on those backups against, you know, a big time programs. Florida State's going head to head with Auburn, Alabama, you know, Penn State, Georgia, you know, for guys right now, Ole Miss, you know, Miami, LSU, like they're going head to head with some really big name programs for some really talented kids. So I don't know if that's closing well or if it's, you know, because they missed out on their top targets that they're going, you know, they're going up to the backup targets, you know, if that's still closing well. You know, just a personal dilemma that I've been trying to deal with. But I do think Florida State is going to close out the class well, you know, with who they're going to get. So we'll start talking, you know, on the latest with. We'll start with Nick Cross. He's committed to Florida State. He's been committed to Florida State since September 3rd. But Penn State, Georgia, and his father have tried to step in on that. I think that Nick Cross sticks with Florida State. When Cross originally committed to Florida State, you know, his father didn't want him to commit to Florida State. He wanted him to go to Penn State. Well, Cross committed to Florida State anyway. I think that in the end, the kid is going to get to go where he wants to go. If you watch the Instagram live video of him on his official visit from Penn State, he had looked absolutely miserable on that video. And he on the video while at Penn State, he said the Florida State visit was his best visit. So the kid wants to be at Florida State. In the end, I think he will be at Florida State. And I'll get into that more tomorrow with, you know, what I'm hearing as far as that goes. Then you've got Quayshawn Fuller. You know, he's committed to Florida State, the 4-star defensive end. Took an official visit to Alabama. Loved the Alabama visit. Mom, you know, kind of the opposite of Nick Cross. Mom is firmly in Florida State's corner. She loves her some Willie Taggart. And, you know, Quayshawn likes Florida State. And also, I'm not sure if Alabama's going to have room for him because they've got like 10 guys for two spots. So I'm not sure how that works out. But, you know, Quayshawn, I think he's going to end up sticking with Florida State. But, and then just moving on, you know, Florida State's definitely going to sign Travis Jay, kicker Ryan Fitzgerald, and Brendan Gant. Those three are definitely signing on Wednesday. Nothing to worry about there. So the two commitments that they have that, you know, were worrisome and still are, will be until they sign on the dotted line, is Nick Cross and Quayshawn Fuller. But at this point, I do believe that both of them end up playing in the Garnet Gold. Next, you've got four-star quarterback Lance McKendry and four-star quarterback John Rhys Plumlee. Florida State's going to get one of those. I don't think they get two. If I had to take one, I would take Plumlee. You know, I met him on, met him on Saturday, talked to him again on Sunday, and he's the most mature recruit I've ever dealt with. You take everything, that was bad about DeAndre Francois, all of the, just his personality and the way he handled himself, and it's the exact opposite for Plumlee. I mean, he was the most mature recruit I've ever dealt with, and that includes the JUCO guys, graduate transfers. It doesn't matter. Like, that was he was an extremely impressive kid to talk to, and I think that if you talk to anybody who dealt with him, you'd get the same response. He was extremely impressive, and I think he's going to end up going to Ole Miss. Now, that's not to say that I don't like McKendry. I do. I think he's a talented football player, and I think he would fit well, very well, into what Florida State's going to do. But if you're looking for a guy who's going to step into the locker room and be a leader and have that type of personality, Plumlee's that guy. I'm not sure McKendry has that, at least right now. It's not to say he couldn't grow into that. But at least right now, Plumlee has that. But I think he's going to Ole Miss. I do think McKendry is going to end up at Florida State. Then moving to the offensive line, everybody's favorite topic. We talked a lot about how the offensive line was absolutely awful last year. Well, Florida State's doing everything it can to fix that. They brought in a JUCO offensive lineman that's already on campus. They're signing a graduate transfer. They've got a four-star guard already on campus. They signed a three-star guard. Now, Maurice Smith is going to need some time to add a lot of weight, but he's a talented kid. Dante Lucas is the guard that I mentioned that's already on campus. Very talented kid. But Florida State's after three offensive linemen, and I think they get all three: Darius Washington, Kamar Bell, and Ira Henry. I made the prediction that Florida State would get all three. Right after their visit, I'm standing firm in that. Ira Henry loved Florida State visit. Kamar Bell loved his Florida State visit. It's close to home for Bell, and he likes the idea of his mom being able to take a 1-hour trip to be able to come watch him play. So he likes the idea of being close to home there, and he likes Florida State's need on the offensive line. If anything, there's no team in the country that needs offensive line more than Florida State, and they made that very clear to both Henry and Bell during the visit. Darius Washington, Florida State almost screwed that up, but I think playing close to home, Florida State could have had him locked up in December, but they didn't offer. They offered late. Miami was able to get into it, made it very, very interesting, but in the end, I think Washington's going to end up at Florida State. One of the guys that I don't think they get is cornerback Jay Ward. Also, he's from Colquitt County, but Florida State has 7 DBs committed. I think they're going to get all 7, and there's just not really a need. And where he goes, I think it's going to be Kentucky. And Kentucky has a much bigger need at defensive back than Florida State. And lastly, you have Alante Brown. I have no idea what to think of Alante Brown. That recruitment has been so weird. Got the feeling after his official visit to Florida State that it was Florida State. Florida State had smoothed things over with him about what position they were recruiting him at, and basically told him they were just trying to get the ball in his hands. And any offensive player, skill position player, is going to be excited about a program telling him they just want to get the ball in his hands. So, a kid can fly. I think he ends up at Florida State. I'm not at all confident in that pick. That recruitment's been all over the place. So I'm not sure exactly where that goes. I'll try and have more on that tomorrow. But as of right now, I'm predicting Florida State, but I'm not 100% confident in that. Then junior day, Florida State hosted a ton of top prospects. Five-star Fred Davis was supposed to be at Florida. He's a cornerback out of Jacksonville. He ended up coming to Florida State, said he's going to come back to Florida State. That kid is really, really good. Five-star defensive tackle McKinley Jackson was back at Florida State for, I believe, his fourth trip. That guy keeps just keeps on showing up at Florida State. It just, So he, who knows? I mean, he's a five-star defensive tackle, Mississippi. So who knows? Who knows at this point? But he keeps showing up at Florida State, and as long as he continues to do that, you have to like the Seminoles' chances. But Florida State got two commitments out of it. Quarterback Jeff Sims, who I really like. He's currently unranked. I don't think he's going to be unranked for long. He's a really talented kid, and a really well-spoken kid, and he was very excited, and, he committed. He didn't expect to commit on the visit, but committed. You know, I really like him. If you haven't seen him, go watch his film. It's very, very good. He's a true dual threat guy, but he doesn't like to be labeled. He can stand in the pocket and throw, or he can run. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. Let's just leave it at that. And Florida State got a commitment from four-star linebacker Stephen Dix Jr., really talented kid, earned an offer at Saturday Night Live, and, I thought he was going to commit during the visit. He ended up going home and committing the next day, right in the middle of DeAndre and Plumlee and everybody else, which made for a, kind of frantic few hours for me. But Florida State got a really good one. I know that they really, really like him, and they're really happy that he committed. So Florida State got a couple of commits from junior day. All four of the previous commits were on campus, so that's always a good sign, getting those guys back up here. So all in all, it was a very productive weekend for Florida State. But that's going to do it for this the second segment of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. We'll be back again in just a minute talking a little bit about Florida State basketball and Florida State baseball and just where things stand with those two programs. Thanks for sticking with me as we head into this final segment. We went a little long on the first two, so I'm going to have to cut this short a little bit. Florida State basketball is banged up. There's no other way to describe it. Florida State's, that Phil Kofer, Trent Forrest, and Terrence Mann have been dealing with foot injuries that have kept them, from playing in multiple games, from, being 100%. And when Trent Forrest isn't able to drive, it really throws off Florida State's offense. The half-court offense, they really depend on him being able to get inside and dish. Terrence Mann hasn't been as explosive. Phil Kofer's, has missed so many games this year. He's finally starting to get his groove back, and then he gets injured. And, they're just banged up. But all three of those guys have been playing. Florida State played well against Miami. They bounced back a little bit. They got to go up to Syracuse, and it's really going to come down to whether or not Florida State can shoot well against the Orange up in the Carrier Dome. So Florida State's going to have to figure that out, because that zone is going to be absolutely brutal on Florida State, just because they haven't shot well this season for the most part, but have shot well recently. So it all depends on which Florida State's going to show up. The one that's, that had a lot of success against Miami and Clemson, or the one that's made one out of 22, three-pointers against Boston College, or was it Pittsburgh? I don't know. I can't remember. Both of those games were nightmares. But, Florida State's still a very good basketball team. Oh, and in case you didn't know this, the number one overall player in the 2019 recruiting class for basketball will be on campus for Florida State's game against Louisville this weekend. He's trending heavily to Florida State. He is a really, really talented kid. He's going to commit on Monday following the visit. Florida State basketball could potentially sign the number one overall player in the country. That's where things stand right now. This recruiting class, adding in Anthony Edwards, is the best recruiting class I think Florida State signed, period. It's filled with talent. There's a lot of guys that I think can really, really play. So you know, next year, you know, Florida State basketball should keep on rolling. You know, the injuries have kept them down from being what I thought they would be a little bit this year, but they're still a very dangerous team. And if those guys can get healthy, I don't expect Trent Forrest to be healthy until, you know, after the season. But, you know, if Mann and Kofor can get healthy and Forrest can at least play to a certain level to where he's able to drive and stuff like that, then Florida State's going to be a very dangerous team going forward. I mean, you saw what they could do against Duke. You know, Forrest was injured for that game. So if Florida State can play at that level, this is a team that can, you know, go toe-to-toe with any team in the country. But that's enough about basketball. I got a few minutes to talk about baseball. You know, this baseball team, it's going to come down to, you know, to how well they're going to pitch. You've got Drew Parrish returning, CJ Van Eyck. You know, those are your Friday and Saturday starters. You've got a really solid lineup. You're losing a couple guys, but you're bringing in some really talented freshmen. Nander DeSantis at shortstop was one of the top prospects in the country. I mean, he was a top 50 prospect across the board for everyone. You know, not just high school, but guys coming out of college too. And then there's Elijah Capel. You know, Reese Albert returns. Drew Mendoza returns. You know, Nico Baldor transferred from Miami. Matt Nelson, who was drafted, will be behind the plate. You know, it's a very talented lineup. And then you've got Robbie Martin, who may play outfield, is probably going to be the DH. I mean, he had 3 home runs in 4 games in the fall. So he's a really talented guy. Yeah, this lineup's going to be very good, but it's going to come down to whether or not Florida State has the pitching. Florida State really needs Austin Pollock to step up and be and improve from last year. He was decent during the he was decent during the non-conference schedule, but got absolutely lit up in conference schedule. Florida State needs him to take that next step. They need to find a midweek starter. I think that's got to be a freshman in Antonio Velez. And then they need to find the, you know, middle relief. You've got Chase Haney, who's probably going to be in the closer role. You got Jonah Scolaro. It's really going to come down to the pitching, to how good this staff is going to be. I think this team's going to be pretty good. But if Pollock doesn't take the next step, there's not really that many starter-type guys on this roster that can step in and help him out, or pick up that slack. So it's really Florida State really needs Austin Pollock to step up and be that guy. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Seminoles podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll be back tomorrow. I will be back tomorrow talking about the recruiting class. We'll talk some more. We'll talk some more basketball. And we'll talk a little bit more baseball. But mostly we'll talk recruiting, National Signing Day, what to expect, and what's the latest. So I hope you guys have a wonderful evening. Thanks for listening.